Captain, we just found the crew's clothing.
Where?
20 yards offshore.
Are they all in this condition?
Well, they all seem to have tooth marks on them.
Long distance, Kyoto, Dr. Stewart's clinic. The Frankenstein expert.
Now it's garbage.
Another Movie Night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me, as always, is my plus one, Joe.
Hi. Your co-op partner for life?
Yes.
The tea in your burrito?
I like
all of it. The cream in your coffee?
See, I could have used those every time. I could have done a new one every month.
You know what? I think this is a new challenge. You have to do one every week. Every single week. I am the tomato in your salad.
I could have done that. You don't know. I could have said my brown gargantua.
No, that would make me the green one.
Well, I said my brown one.
Oh.
I would have been the green one.
No. Oh, okay. I get it. Okay.
So.
No, you're not the green one. You're not evil. I'd be the evil one.
Guess what we're doing today?
Talking trash. This is our segment. This is our show to spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because we on the show believe that you can't truly review a movie until you know what the worst is.
But today we are doing something completely different. All right, we're changing it up for one time. Usually we always pick movies under 5 stars on IMDb out of 10. Today we're doing something a little different because for May we are doing kaiju movies, mm-hmm. which is big-ass monster movies. Mm-hmm. Movies with big-ass monsters in them.
Yeah.
And tonight we are watching a movie with the tagline, "Can a country survive when two gargantuas battle to the death?" We are talking about 1966's War of the Gargantuas, aka Frankenstein's Monsters, Senda versus Gaira.
I feel like Tokyo would have been decimated at this point because of Godzilla alone. So you're like, how can a country survive? What? No.
Well, this is a world where Godzilla doesn't exist.
Oh, God, but he does.
It depends when Toho feels like they do, because one of these monsters is actually shown in another Godzilla movie.
Yes. Okay.
So that's very odd. Now, the reason I brought up we usually do movies under a 5-star rating, because we usually do movies that are lower rated, the debated, like we already said in there in the opening. Today, we're actually doing a movie that has a 6.2 on IMDb from 3,800 reviewers, which is something we usually don't do. We usually pick a lower rated film.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that.
I'm picking this movie in particular because last week we watched a movie which led into this, kind of. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
It just left me with more questions than anything else.
Okay, so this movie is once again directed by last week's director, Ishiro Honda, who is the director of Godzilla, Rodan, Mothra, Ghidorah, and last week's movie, the prequel to this film, Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Or, as it's called, Frankenstein versus Baragon?
Yes.
Okay.
Or, as West Germany had called it, Frankenstein, the monster with the ape face.
Okay.
This is the third and final collaboration between Toho Studios and Henry G. Saperstein. Okay, this movie inspired... You ready for all this?
Okay.
This movie inspired Brad Pitt to start acting.
I remember seeing a film called The Gargantuas, I believe. And it was the good gargantua and the bad gargantua. At the end of it, the good gargantua had to sacrifice himself to defeat the bad Gargantua and rid the world of evil.
Inspired major scenes in Kill Bill, the premise of Attack on Titan, the 1997 Gamera trilogy, scenes in Pacific Rim. It is a fan favorite of Del Toro's, Tim Burton's.
It's my two-year-old daughter's favorite movie. She's obsessed with it. She's the green Gargantua, and my other son is the brown one, and she loves being the bad green Gargantua. I mean, she's obsessed with it, and as I was.
John Carpenter's, Nicolas Cage's, and Tarantino. Devo performed the version of the song in this film live in 1978.
If I had a tiny microphone stuck inside my heart, it would amplify my love for you. But the words get stuck in my throat.
The director of Godzilla King of the Monsters expressed desire to remake this film. And it was spoofed in an episode of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated titled Battle of the Human Gargantuans. Is that what it's called? The episode actually parodies the film by featuring two hairy creatures similar in appearance to Sandra and Gyra, riffing the film's title and even featuring a cover of Kip Harington's song, The Words Get Stuck in My Throat.
But with just one look into your face, my mind starts to drift right into space, and the words get stuck in my throat. The words get stuck in my throat.
You know, I gotta hand it to you, Mayor. Crystal Cove needed a trendy hot spot like the Tiki Tub, and you delivered. The local Hepcats are gonna dig this crazy joint.
Well, the words just got stuck in my throat just now because I literally have no words for what you just told me. Can we just go back a smidge? You said that this movie inspired Brad Pitt to start acting.
He was asked on a red carpet somewhere by, I believe, Rotten Tomatoes, and he said this was the movie that made him want to become an actor.
Oh my God. I don't know. I got nothing, man. This movie.
Tarantino sat down Daryl Hannah and made her watch a screening of this movie to use in Kill Bill.
What?
He built sets of Tokyo when she's flying in specifically to look like this film. And they use sound effects to have their one battle fight, who is Uma Thurman and whatever. And I guess Daryl Hannah's character mentions Gargantua's a couple times in her scenes.
The amount of venom that can be delivered from a single bite can be gargantuan. You know, I've always liked that word, gargantuan. I so rarely have an opportunity to use it in a sentence.
I don't recall that.
I don't either, but apparently that's all there.
Oh my God. I'm still stuck on the Brad Pitt wanting to be an actor because of this movie. This movie is not... When you think of stellar acting, this movie is not at all what comes to mind.
Well, looks like it's getting a little too misty.
Yes.
We'd better go back.
I would think that he would pick some, like, I don't know, some really, I don't know, any other
good movie?
Any other movie on earth. But this?
Give him a chance, General. He deserves at least that much for saving Akane's life.
I am in shock. I would love to sit Brad Pitt down and be like, bro, what? Can you give me some context on this? And what's going on?
I'm going to look for the clip. Hopefully I could put it in right now because I saw there's a lot of people mentioning this movie, which is crazy.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I lost my place in my mind. Oh, and here's really what's funny. We said May because we record early, but we're actually recording this perfectly for the resurrection of Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's heart, Lieutenant.
Frankenstein? It's still living?
It can never die.
So we're recording this on Easter. How perfect.
Oh, what says wow. Easter?
Like Frankenstein's resurrection.
Oh my my God.
This movie stars Russ Tamblyn as Dr. Paul Stewart. You know him from Twin Peaks and West Side Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was labeled by the people who worked on this movie as an asshole and a pain in the ass.
No way.
He wouldn't listen to the director, and he improvised all of his lines, and it angered them. Funny enough.
That's not his voice that's overdubbed, right?
Oh, you ready for this?
Because it doesn't sound
right. You ready
right.
for this, Joe?
I can't be more ready.
His audio was missing, forcing him to redub his lines without his script and only the movement of his lips to help him remember his lines.
What?
There is two English dubbed versions of this movie. Tonight, we watched the one that says Frankenstein. So, in the original screenplay, the original, the one we watched is actually a dubbed version doing the dialogue of the Japanese people. But the first release replaced the word Frankenstein with gargantuous.
Oh my God.
And okay. They never actually say Frankenstein in the first American release. And that's the one where he's doing his own dialogue. And if you listen to that, it's like he's asleep.
Yes, this is Dr. Stewart speaking. Well, that's more than I can offer till I can find out what's going on around here.
Oh my God. So this is like a, so they had to redo the whole thing because the
dialogue. Because his audio went missing, Joe.
Okay, he did that shit on purpose.
Yes. You think they didn't do that on purpose?
But how did he have access to that?
Who? No. He didn't do it. No. Obviously, the crew.
Why would they do that? Oh, because he was an asshole?
And he was improvising his lines.
Oh, shit. Wow, I mean, to ruin the whole production of the movie almost, just to get back at one dude?
Well,
that's pretty fucked.
I think there's a lot more going on behind the scenes because a lot of stuff, I mean, you would think this legendary director who is the director of the biggest kaiju movies would have been treated better, but he was actually released from his contract. And then he was told to go and talk to the producers to make sure if he's going to get a movie to direct.
Oh no.
Yeah. You would think that he would have been treated a little better, especially since this one is one of those ones that is so highly regarded for some reason.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And you think he would have been treated a little better. And then they said that he suffered on the set of this movie because he had to deal with this guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So yeah, and in the American dub, they don't use Frankenstein in the first one that was released here in America, which makes more sense actually, because the word Frankenstein kind of needs to be replaced in this movie.
I mean, yeah, because it's not really what it was in the original one.
No,
or, and, I mean, it wasn't that either in the original one, but I mean, it was closer than this.
Yeah, I think that leads into the whole conversation tonight. We're talking about this movie, and I think that what's really important here is that this was a intended sequel of the Frankenstein Conquers the World. And the problem is, during the screenwriting process, it just kept evolving.
Okay.
And so there are multiple script names for this movie that say this is the sequel, like Frankenstein's Twins or something like that. There's all these crazy titles, right? Well, what happened was as they went along, they kept going, eh. So they actually had, they were going to use the actor from the last movie.
Okay, this is my question. So I initially saw that Russ Tamblyn was in the movie. I saw his name on the screen, and I was like, okay, well, I didn't see the other actor that was in the last movie.
Nick Adams.
Yeah.
So Nick Adams was originally going to be in this movie, and they were going to make a sequel. Then the producers, this Henry G. Saperstein, he was like, no, I'm on him out. I'm going to replace him with Tab Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
So Tab Hunter said, no, I'm not doing it. So he backed out. So then they were forced to use Russ Tamblyn, which Russ Tamblyn didn't like doing this movie at all.
I mean, obviously he was an asshole to the crew.
He was just,
excuse me, sorry.
Really fighting with the, he was fighting with the director. He actually has come around over time and been a little more like, I think he's now realizing maybe I was a little bit of a dick.
I you mean, know? It's only been 50 years.
So the
60
weird,
years.
Yes, exactly. So the weird thing about this is same director, the same lead actress. And then they just replace the lead actor, and then they just go, let's just call them different people. But then they go Frankenstein, right? And so then you get confused. And by the way, yes, before you go any further and you're hearing us talk about Frankenstein, we know it's Frankenstein's monster. We all know. I don't think the Japanese understood that.
No.
No, because
they just threw it out.
Because the word Frankenstein is used as the monster, not the man who made the monsters.
Yeah.
Although they do that too.
Right.
Frankenstein created Frankenstein.
We're just calling him Frankenstein because everyone in the movie calls him Frankenstein. So, yeah. And now I have something to say about Kumi Mizuno, right?
Okay.
Kumi
Mizuno. Lead actress in this movie.
Yeah. So they used her in the first Frankenstein movie. Okay. They used her in that. And she played a completely different character. Now, why? Okay, if you're going to replace the main actor, that's fine. You know, they do it all the time. But why couldn't they give him the same name and give her the same name and make it like that they were just, that, you know, like a continuation of the last movie? That would have made more sense than this convoluted hot mess.
Because this is, even they say that it's a quasi-sequel. Like, okay. They go, it's not really a sequel, just redoing it.
Well, no, you're not, because you're really just taking the same monster and making a double of it.
And I would say that even is sketchy. It's not the same monster.
But they're still playing scientists, even though it's not the same actor, but it is the same actress playing a different role. They're still playing the same role.
Personally, I would agree with you and say that the big problem here is that they should have just made it a sequel and used the same names and the same actors and not changed any of this backstory stuff. Because when they start talking about backstory, you're like, wait, what?
Right.
And now, there is no explanations for any of the backstory that they say in this movie.
I mean, no, not in this one. But in the original one, they say that he was
it all makes,
like, the bomb dropped and he was created from that, from a brain, from Frankenstein.
No, it's a heart. It was the heart of Frankenstein.
Okay, the heart of Frankenstein, not the brain.
Traveled
the heart.
Through Germany during the war. And then they used it, and when it got Hiroshima got bombed, it radiated the heart, and he grew.
Right, he grew
over
into
15 years. He became an adult, and he's rapidly growing. Okay. So that would have made sense going into this movie. Instead, they're like, "Now let's throw it out and let's have some flashback stuff to a baby Frankenstein." And now here's
it looks like a, what do you call, Monchichi?
He is a full Monchichi.
That's an 80s thing. We're old.
Let's by the way, this movie has an hour and 32 minute runtime, and I would say that 55 minutes of that has to be military porn, aka miniatures rolling around, or mm-hmm. and also the monster walking, looking, and ducking.
Yeah.
At least 55 minutes of
it. At least 55 minutes. There's.
I would say there was hardly movie in the movie.
Well, yeah, there's no substance in this at all.
It really isn't. So let's talk about, because I think that every sequence, and it's also a short one to talk about, because 55 minutes of, we really don't need to talk about. So we're only going to talk about the rest of the movie.
Well, I wrote down some notes.
I know you actually took notes tonight, which is great.
And, I
wrote only one other note, and I'll say it at the end here.
Oh, okay. So may I, just, so
we have to talk about an octopus first.
Okay. Yes, of course. So, the movie opens with a boat captain, and you see tentacles coming into the ship to grab him. Now, okay, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be like a huge freak octopus, and it's good, you know, it's going to be a monster. It's going to be cool. Now, I did like it. So I did like the red eyes, had red eyes, and it was like huge, whatever, right? So
I have to point it out to you, though. Before we go any further, and just say, this is a movie where everybody's like, there's no such thing as big monsters. Oh, there's a giant octopus. No one's ever encountered that thing before.
Oh, yeah, no. No one's ever encountered it.
That's
first
a
time.
Normal thing. It's so, the other thing that's a problem.
Yeah. This boat captain gets grabbed and almost sucked out the window with the tentacles on the octopus, right? So I was like, oh, this is going to be badass, right? This is going to be like, it's going to be great. This is a good bad guy here. And because I like the water monsters. I like them. They're cool. And so, no, that doesn't happen. We see this green giant looking.
Yeah. We have to say this.
It looks like the green giant.
It literally is the Green Giant.
He has the same hair.
I'm so mad that I couldn't find out that that inspired the Green Giant character.
He looks like a cross between the he looks Green like broccoli. Giant. He looks like, yeah, he does. He looks like Green Giant versus the Swamp Thing versus the Sasquatch.
Yes. In fact, they shouldn't have said Frankenstein's baby or whatever. They should have said the Green Giant had sex with Swamp Thing.
And I looked, I looked at you and I said, okay, first of all, why is he green? Why is he furry?
Yeah, furry, broccoli, and also backwoods teeth.
Yeah.
Like redneck teeth.
Like, why? Okay, in the last movie, he was humanoid. Okay, now he just looks like, he does. He looks
like Neanderthal in the last one.
Yeah.
And this one, no.
Now, no, they just said, fuck it. We're not doing that. But he's green now. And he's a water dweller.
Okay.
So,
I had read. This is the craziest thing. If I think when the scripts kept getting changed, facts stayed in, but they weren't explained. But they kept stuff in the script that didn't make any sense. Now, one of the scripts that I heard was being written was explaining how in the last movie, this happened. So when in the end of the last movie, we see Frankenstein and Baragon. He kills Baragon, and then they sink into the earth. And I don't think fire or anything has to do with it.
No.
But I mean, they sink into the earth.
The forest is on fire.
Yeah, on fire. So you kind of get the idea that maybe they're getting buried and burned.
Yeah.
So what I read a little bit of somewhere that one of these ideas was that Baragon and Frankenstein's DNA were mixing. Because Frankenstein, his cells are constant. They can't die. And he's regrowing. So what I heard is that the concept was that Frankenstein would regrow on his own, but some of his DNA would mix with Baragon.
That's very
and Baragon far-fetched. Was becoming the sea monster thing.
Okay, but Baragon is like, I mean, he's got four legs, he has a horn, he looks more like a dinosaur.
He's a little more green. He's a little more green. You know what I'm saying? Like you can understand a little bit of it, like going, okay. And he's also, he eats people.
Well, yes, he does. But I would get it if, like, Frankenstein, in air quotes, actually, if he grew a horn or started to look a little bit more like Baragon, I'd be like, okay, that's feasible.
Something seems right here.
That's a little bit more sensible. But
I will also point out they both have scales for some reason.
Yeah.
Especially the brown one.
Yep.
Which makes the Baragon thing make more sense.
Yeah, but they don't even try to, like, I mean, I'm here, I looked over at you within the first 5 minutes after this is happening. So Green Giant, he comes out of the water and he's slashing about with the octopus. Now, I thought, like,
that looked cool.
I was like, yeah, it looked really cool. But I was like, okay, this is going to be like a thing, you know, like this octopus is going to be like a bad guy or something. Like, maybe he won't be a bad guy. Maybe he'll be, I don't know, like, you know, when Godzilla had monsters on his side kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like that. I was like, oh, you know, he'll be like a good sidekick, this guy, because I like the way he looks. And no.
Yeah, this is an odd moment because it seems that the Green Giant saves the ship.
Right.
And then it's like, nope. He chucks the octopus and then goes about thrashing the boat in the funniest stuff.
God.
He's just rocking this boat. All we kept laughing about was the captain of the ship. Well, this guy's not the captain. He's steering it. But he keeps yelling for the captain over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like the captain's going to do something special for him.
I know.
But he thrashes this guy. We kept laughing. Please cut back to him flying around the room.
Oh, my God. Okay. Can I just say that I looked over at you during this scene and I was like, well, why is he all of a sudden a bad guy? Like, I know that maybe he went into the water and evolved into, like, some kind of scaly, like, fish, you know, thing. Okay, fine. But when we left him at the end of the last movie, he was a good guy. He saved people. So I was like, wait a minute. Okay, why is he a bad guy now? Why is he just killing these poor sailors? Like, what's going on here? You know, now he's bad. He's, and which we need because, obviously, movie. We need a bad guy. But I thought it was going to be the octopus. You know, the octopus never comes back.
No.
That's the end of him.
No one even talks about it. Doesn't matter.
And I was like, wow. Okay, so now we cut to Dr. Paul Stewart, who is not Dr. Bowen.
Well, we don't. We actually cut to the survivor of the boat telling the story of what happened.
Yeah, and everybody's just like Dr. Stewart, correct?
No, Stewart doesn't even know until the newspapers come out.
Oh, okay.
But this guy, the only reason I bring this guy up is because the cops that he's talking to are just so like, stop lying. Stop lying to us.
No, okay, first of all, Tokyo, how many times have you been through this?
Well, again, this is a sub-multiverse movie where it's not in the same as the Godzilla films. Because like, then it would be ready.
I mean, seriously, but why would you ever make up something like this? Like, come on, your whole crew is dead.
He tells a story that's so funny. They're like, a kid could swim this far. Anybody could have done it. And they're like, where's your boat? It's under the water.
Yeah.
So they go swim down to it. They literally see it underwater.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that scene. They go down there.
They go down there. They show it. It's so funny. They took a little toy boat and put it in a, like an aquarium, mm-hmm. and they just shot the aquarium.
I love that shit. I love it so aquarium, much.
But, the little tank.
It's just so much fun.
The miniatures are great. Yeah, always so much fun in these movies. It's like, I know some people might not like it as much, but it's quaint. It's fun. I don't know. There's something to it. But the problem is here, no one believes this dude at all. He just keeps going, like, seriously, a monster. Why would I even lie?
I told you before.
Tell me again, and let's have the truth from you this time. Now, when you were swimming back to the shore, did you see any sign of the other crew?
Oh, yes. I saw them all. When I left the ship, they were all four with me. Then it happened. We were halfway to the shore. Then this green monster grabbed them all.
Tell us the truth, and let's forget the green monsters now.
And I love, he's like, it's straight up a monster. And then the guy goes into another room, and they go, well, we did find all the people's clothes. And they're like, those are totally teeth marks. And I'm like, well, first off,
what
do you mean they're teeth marks? Like, what do you mean? How would you know? It's just a ripped, shredded clothes.
Right.
And it doesn't look like a
shark. It could be anything.
But it couldn't be a shark. We're talking about Green Giant's teeth. Their one tooth would have shredded the thing like anything would have.
It would have been like dental floss.
So I had to see this guy go, oh, these are definitely giant teeth marks. Like, no way.
No.
But here's another thing I love. Is the Green Giant spitting up the clothes? Like, how is he getting the people out of the clothes? He's swallowing them whole.
Okay, we know that he is spitting out the clothes, because later we encounter...
There is one spit move, but I thought that was the whole person.
No, I think he spit out the clothes.
How would that even work? That's like tying the cherry stem with your tongue.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like, how would they undress the person in their mouth while they're chewing?
I mean, he has to eat, so...
I don't know. I just like that they found all of their clothes washed up on shore.
That was in the same, like, pile. Like, they were all together.
And it's all bloody. It was in the water, but it's all bloody.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was great.
This guy gets on the phone, and he goes, yeah, give me that doctor.
Yeah, give me Dr. Stewart.
Are they all in this condition?
Well, they all seem to have tooth marks on them.
Long distance, Kyoto, Dr. Stewart's clinic, the Frankenstein expert.
Yeah, and he's so nonchalant, he's just like, whatever, give me the doctor, please. No, so like, they get called up, they're like, hey, there's some random thing, they're calling, oh, get me the Frankenstein doctor, because they're the experts in Frankenstein. What? Right, and then they call and they go, yeah, we had a Frankenstein baby once.
But how do they know it's a Frankenstein?
I don't know.
Because the guy was like a monster.
He just said a monster.
A monster came, and that means two.
And they automatically isn't there a guy who had a Frankenstein once? And by the way, all I kept thinking about during this movie was the bog.
What? Yeah. Oh, yes.
All I kept thinking about the bog when she said, you think we have a Dracula in our hands? I kept thinking the whole movie, someone please say, don't look at me like that, but... do you think we have a Frankenstein on our hands? I think going forward, every time we watch a kaiju movie, I'm going to say that to you.
Yes.
Is a possibility there's a Frankenstein on? You know, because Frankenstein was very known for being a giant.
Yes.
Why do they think this?
But, I mean, aren't you even, like, taken aback a little bit at the fact that the guy, so there's a monster coming out of the ocean. What about the octopus that was, like... you know, just the size of the Earth.
Yeah, and
that
like,
tried to get him.
Oh, and by the way, you know, he even says, "Well, first we got a giant octopus attacked us," and then I like the cops are just like, "Oh, geez, this guy." what happened next? The giant green giant guy came out. Yeah, that literally happened next.
I mean, so and this is my favorite when the doctor comes back with her name is not what was her name before? Suyako. Her name is now Akimi, actress, but it's the same actress, but she's just playing a different part. It's so stupid. I don't understand why they did that. Just make her the same actress.
Yeah,
same
but even
character.
Worse, we see like an entire cut sequence of a flashback with them with a baby. Now they keep saying baby Frankenstein, but it's not. It's it looks like a Monchichi.
It does.
Just go search Monchichi if you don't know what it is. It looks
it's
like
a
little teddy
the
bear.
80s.
Like a little teddy bear monkey looking guy. It doesn't look like a Frankenstein.
No.
I don't even know.
If anything, it looks more like a Sasquatch.
It's like a baby Sasquatch.
But they have already deemed it Frankenstein. Now, let me ask you this. Was this a flashback that was supposed to have happened in the first movie, or they just said fuck that? That was not at all a part of the first movie.
Again, you got to remember that this movie is not a sequel anymore. It's a sequel in the sense that they go, we had Frankenstein once, let's just move on.
But they're making this okay, but you can't put that in there and say that these two doctors were, you know, they have history with this Frankenstein thing.
It's a new plot line. They're suggesting, even if this was a sequel, they're suggesting there was another group of scientists that go, we have a monk. We have a Frankenstein as well over here.
Okay, but then why use the same actress? It's
again,
throwing
move
me
on
off.
From her. Like there's.
I can't take it. It's throwing me off. I feel like they're the same
character. She is the same character because they're.
But
she's also
not.
Playing the assistant.
Yeah, she
the
is
the same exact character, an assistant to an American.
Just what? Yeah. What? But with a different name.
Yeah, and it's questionable in both movies if she's dating the lead side the doctor that she's working for.
Right. I mean, like, we know that they're dating in the first one.
Not really. We were guessing that they must be because at one point they're walking the beach holding hands. In this movie, you thought the same thing, and then they showed that he's sleeping alone and she doesn't live there.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Because she just knocks on the door. She comes in the front door.
It doesn't even matter. I'll tell you, though, the next scene is a baffling one because we see them, like, brainstorming, and then he comes out of the ocean, the green giant.
We get a lot of green giant attacking people slowly in different ways before we even get like certain things, because it starts showing up in the paper. For some reason, an entire village threw a giant net out and it caught a green giant, and they pulled him in and he was like, oh, pissed off. But he doesn't like the sun is established.
So, so he attacks an airport and he eats a woman. Okay.
He does eat a woman and spit her right out.
And he
spits something out.
Okay. That's weird. Why even bother? Are you just doing that to kill her? You could just snap her or squeeze her, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the sun bothers him. So he doesn't like light. So I was like, okay.
See, it is
so
me.
It makes me think that he was born under the water. Like maybe he doesn't. He was like some kind of sea monster that spliced with something else.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we actually get. We'll get into that in a second. There is actually a sequence where he's underwater swimming. He's just breathing underwater, and a father and son fishermen just look under the water and they go, "Oh my God." A green giant staring at us.
Yeah.
And he eats them both.
That was a very funny scene.
Yeah, and we know he is like, literally can live underwater.
Like, hello.
Yeah, he's just like staring up at him like, hey.
Like, I'm under here. Yeah. How you guys doing today?
That poor actor. That poor actor in that suit under that water is unreal. I couldn't stop thinking about him.
I can't imagine how heavy he felt, you know?
And they said that this was the most comfortable of all the kaiju suits, but you can completely understand the other one. The other ones, there's like photographs of them draining the sweat out of these suits.
Ugh.
And this one is like, oh God, I'm free. Like, you know, he's just in a normal Halloween suit.
I'll tell you though, that suit was gross.
What, this one?
Yeah.
There's a sequence where he's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, damn, this guy sucks.
They're pummeling him, but, like, you know, with, like, the military's, like, shooting at him and stuff. And he's got, like, real fire on that suit.
That's what I'm saying. It's sparking. Like, wow. He's on fire. I've seen this in other kaiju films, but in this particular one, since he's hairy, that shit goes really up on flames.
Yeah.
And every time they cut back, it's like the flames are gone, but I kept going, they have to keep putting them out. And yeah. I guess they were replacing the burn marks with the, like, the,
with the blood.
They like put a, bloody, like, scabs on him at some point.
Yeah, to show that he got hurt.
But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, because I think we were talking about how the paper shows up, and someone drew a, first off, what they drew in the newspaper actually looks like the one we meet later on, not this first green guy. Because right. The green one looks like a moss hellhole. He looks like something you clean out of your sink when you get the hairball out of the shower. He looks nasty. Gross. He looks like he's been through something, like a moldy hairball. And when they draw him in the newspaper, he's much more clean and scaly.
Yeah.
And when I love this, because I think this is what you were going to bring up, is the scientists go, oh, it definitely looks like our Frankenstein. And I was like, but he was a baby. He doesn't
look anything like it.
And they the whole plot here is that their Frankenstein baby that they had got released and went into the mountains of Mount Fuji. He went into the Mount Fuji area.
Yeah.
And they haven't seen him since. And then they actually tell the guy who called in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They go, I know, he's dead.
Yeah, he died. He died.
And they go, are you sure?
With
and
he goes, monster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definite. He's definitely dead.
He's definitely, yeah.
And then we're like, dead. You know what? I think our Frankenstein didn't die. Like, why did you guys ever think he died in the first place? Because you allowed a baby to escape into the mountains?
Yeah.
Like,
these people are supposed to be like brilliant minded, scientists.
No. Oh, yeah.
They're the worst. Dumb.
I thought the one in the first movie was hilarious. In this movie, these guys, the only thing they're doctors at is leaps in logic. They could literally win an Olympic sport of their long jumps. Everything that they guess is like a jump in logic that is insane. So as the movie goes on, the doctors start talking about how, what do you think's going on? At one point,
they're brainstorming for 12 seconds.
Yeah, not even that. This one main doctor, he just knows, he comes up with the craziest scenarios and they're all like, yeah, it's definite.
Yeah.
But there's actually a sequence where they're in the woods and his co-scientist, like his other doctor works with him. He's like, you know, this is crazy. I wonder if this is happening. And the American, the Russ Tamblyn actor, he looks at him and goes, let's not guess. Let's come up with real solutions.
Oh my
and then
God.
The rest of the movie, he guesses everything. And everybody's like, if your theory is correct, I'm like, wait a minute. He just said the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
Dr. Stewart speaking. Impossible. The Frankenstein we raised here died 2 years ago on Mount Fuji. Yes. Yes, Frankenstein was killed beyond any doubt. Bye.
What was that about?
Frankenstein's ghost has apparently been eating some people.
No.
A few inches later.
Tell me, Dr. Stewart, could Frankenstein possibly be alive still?
It's possible. You mean that?
Frankenstein survived a number of so-called deaths. However, he could never live for any length of time underwater. Neither would he ever attack boats or eat people. And that's for sure.
So, yeah. I'm going to talk about that. I could talk about that all day.
Okay. So, I know. I have so
his
many.
His logic jumps.
So, his logic is nuts. But after, you know... He's unprovoked in the beginning of the movie, but then the military, they come and start poking him and pissing him off.
Which goes on forever.
That goes on. That is the, what I call the, 30 minutes of military amping up.
Yeah. Because, I said military porn. Yeah. Because it's just them pulling up, loading guns, getting things. And it's the same exact electrocution tank that you've seen in every movie, of any Toho movie. They're always shocking things with an electric tank.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have that really fun drawn on electric bolt and sparks on the monsters.
It's funny. Yeah, they up their game. They have laser beams.
Well, I will admit, the laser beams kick his ass.
They do. And you know what? I think it's pretty effective, like, the way they make him look. Like, they burn his ass up and they fuck him up.
I will say that they are about to kill him without a problem.
Yeah.
And then that's when we find out there's a second one. So the one that was the baby that was released into the mountains, and they said that they found footprints... of that one. That's why they think they're there. They actually mm-hmm. split up at one point and they go into the mountain to see if they could find him. They don't find anything. It's pointless, the whole sequence. And the next scene, when he, the green giant, one of them, is getting electrocuted to death, he jumps in to stop him. Now, for some reason, he doesn't get electrocuted.
You know, I was going to ask you that. They're not using any kind of logic in this scene because if the water was electrified, which
it was electrified,
he would have died also.
He would have been shocking with him. Instead, he keeps doing this thing where he like jumps in and guards him and then just keeps looking.
Yeah.
And so he pulls him, he keeps like helping him limp away. And then they do, they get away. And there's more sequences of the one giant, which is a big golden brown one, more cleaner looking. He looks, you can make out everything on him much more. He looks more
like the Sasquatch in the beginning.
Yeah, he does. He actually looks like that Old Spice Sasquatch that would show up in the commercials.
Yes.
He's like more of a ginger. And you can see him better. But he keeps guarding them. And I love that they keep hiding.
Yeah.
They keep hiding, like, they're in plain sight. Like, there's no way you miss that guy trying, it's like a guy trying to hide behind a pine cone. That's what's going on in the sequence, and the helicopter just doesn't see them. And I guess, it's not really confirmed, but the green one, he seems to, like, heal in water, right? So they keep trying to get him into water. At one point, the one giant is splashing him with water. These two are like, okay, we got friends. I don't even know how he knew that he was being attacked from how far away he was, and how come no one alerted? Oh, there's another one running.
Yeah.
Like there's another one out of nowhere. You can't
see that motherfucker running or even walking.
It's not like he's a ninja. He can't just jump in.
Yeah. He is huge. So after all this, back at the Situation Room, the scientists are all deducing that, oh my God, you know, there's another one. That must be the one that we raised.
Yes. Now, here is where these are like three jumps in logic already, right? First one was
worse.
our Frankenstein's dead.
Yep.
Oh, it must be our Frankenstein. Oh, but it doesn't look like our Frankenstein because our Frankenstein didn't go in water.
Yep.
And then here's another leap in logic. Oh, that one is now our Frankenstein. And now the biggest leap in logic comes next where he says, you know what? I bet our Frankenstein got cut
on a rock.
On a rock. And his DNA fell into the lake and washed into the ocean. And his skin cell survived by eating plankton.
Plankton.
And I was like, his dead scab
survived
and lived because they're saying that all of his DNA is alive and can grow. Now, I will give the movie this. In the last movie we did, I questioned the same thing.
Well, yeah.
I said, how, if every limb is alive and needs proteins to survive, why wouldn't the limb grow a whole new version?
Right.
And I said, this is my problem with Deadpool. Why wouldn't Deadpool's head just grow another body? Why wouldn't there be different Deadpools?
That's true.
Like, why wouldn't the decapitated part grow another Deadpool? So my question here is, okay, that's cool, but where in the hell did you come up with this idea? Because he would be shedding all the time.
Yes.
And because
he creating can't be a new
living,
ones.
Yeah, you couldn't be a living human. You can't be a living creature without skin coming off, while losing a nail, anything. His DNA has to be all over the world.
Yeah, so therefore there would be thousands of them.
And they're like, well, we can't go blow him up, because if we blow him up, all of his cells would be everywhere, and then he would just grow back millions of them. And then we would have a million monsters of Frankensteins on our hand. We'd be Frankensteined up in this mother. And I was like, wait a minute, though, man. You would have to go nuke the ocean. At one time, one of the army heads goes, yeah, we'll just call in a chemical cleanup. And that chemical cleanup will get all the cells. I'm like, what are you talking about? And
they had some ridiculous answer for everything.
And then the funniest part is, there is actually a sequence where Rust Hamlin, they go looking around in the water to go sample, to find his DNA after this fight, where the army was attacking him, because his DNA would be all over the woods, because he's rolling around on trees and cutting himself on trees. So they go, they literally do go look at trees and they find his samples over the place. They even find a sample in the water. So like somehow the female, the doctor, she goes and goes, look, there's something in the water. We couldn't see it. We were like, what are you looking at?
What is she looking at?
And then they pull out a hairball. Now I looked and I'm just like, that means his DNA is already all over the place and you already have a problem with Frankenstein's.
Right. Like,
and
there should be a million of them. Like, he walks by a tree and stubs his toe and he bleeds a little bit. There's another Frankenstein.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it, this logic is so dumb.
There should be Machi cheese all over the place at this point. I love that he suggests that his DNA is living off plankton so long that he became the green giant.
Yeah.
And I guess my question to you is, why is he the exact size and age of the other one that he came from?
True. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any
sense. And the movie does not give a shit to even pretend to care about any of this.
Because their logic is so, like, they feel like they rather do the, you know, 20-minute monster throwdown in lieu of any logic, because that's what people want to see anyway. They don't care about but logic. But
even the throwdowns go on and on and on, and there's not much to it. I will say that the best sequences come a little later on that have to do with monster throwdowns. But the whole science, the whole idea of the movie itself is so bad. There is no movie here.
No, there's no movie.
There is just like getting to the fights.
Yeah.
And I will praise this one fight scene between the two gargantuas. Like, because I guess that's the thing that happens next, is that one of them loves eating human beings and the other one does not like hurting humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the middle of, and I know that you're going to definitely say, absolutely. So I'm just going to say it out loud because we're both like, of course we would. When you're in the middle of a Frankenstein, giant Frankenstein apocalypse, you definitely just go out on hikes and you go on sea boats and you just go, you know what? Let's go to the woods and just take a hike.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you. They were just walking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Fine, we would absolutely say yes to that. Yeah, well, of course.
Who the would? Two doctors let's were walking singing. About.
Let's make noise.
Yeah.
Let's get some party poop and poppers.
Make sure we make enough noise so that we can alert him to our position so he can step on us.
Yeah.
And there were several hikers out there in the mountains and the woods, and the doctor and not his girlfriend, not Dr. Girlfriend.
They went on a nice drive.
Went on a nice drive, went into the woods. And
his, you know, logic, again, by the way, in the sequence, he says, she's like, why are all these people out here? Well, first off, why are you out here? Why are you even questioning?
I'd be underground, like the Earth's core, to hide from this thing.
Yeah, exactly. He goes, you know, even during the Nazi invasion of France, all the kids were out partying.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
is that right?
All right.
Okay.
That's weird. And he's like, yeah, you can't stop kids from being kids. Yeah, so those kids are all out, and I just love that he jumps that logic again. But the kids are out, and wouldn't you know it, Green Giant shows up to eat them all in the mist, because they're just so happened to, like, oh, the mist is coming in. I love that they're standing in, like, the fog from John Carpenter, and he goes, yeah, the mist is coming in.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're already in it, dude.
Yeah, he's like, we might want to head back.
So, yeah, of course, okay. Green Giant shows up.
And then the hikers, there's a whole family of hikers, like, darted past our two doctors, screaming and flailing, because here he comes right down their path. And I guess our original Frankenstein, he sees that the green one is trying to kill people, right?
No. Well, they start all running, and she falls off a cliff. Now, we got to talk about her falling off this cliff, because
first off, this is 300 feet.
They're on Mount Fuji. Like, they're on there. Right, because how far up is she? Because at one point, the gargantuan, whatever the hell you call him, he goes down the side of the mountain, and he's still not even down the mountain. Like, he's so big himself,
right,
but he's still halfway on the mountain.
Yeah, so she must have fallen, I would say, between 300 and 600 feet.
I guess.
She would have died.
She should have been dead.
Grabbed onto a twig and was dangling there.
Off her fingertips. At one point, they show her fingertips.
Don't move. Hang on to the bush. I'll be right down there.
Hey,
Akimi! Akimi! I'll be right there!
Sorry!
Oh my god!
Russ Tamley like tries to crawl down, and the gargantuan's like, no, I'm gonna go save her. So he jumps down. He literally, a whole, when I say this, he is huge. A boulder the size of his head falls down and hits his leg, and he's hurt, and he falls all the way down to the end. She finally falls, and he catches her.
And now, he saves her. So, obviously, he's the one that has compassion.
But how, on the way down, did he not kill Russ Tamblyn?
Right, because he would have slid down right on top of her.
And the boulders were collapsing and hit him.
Right, like, on top of
her. Everybody should have died from that alone.
But this kind of logic doesn't exist in Toho films.
I guess that's
true.
You know,
like, it doesn't matter about the humans.
The fact that she falls and is just hanging there. This sequence is amazing. And this is where we find, while he was saving her, the other one has feasted on as many people as he could, because we just see that he picks some people out of a boat.
Yeah,
there's a boat just floating around without the people in it that we saw late earlier.
Hey.
And then they actually cut to him. This is my favorite.
Snack time.
It's like the honeymooners, where she walks home, she gets home from work, and she sees when you see a wife comes home from work and the husband is laying on the couch in his boxers and he's just playing video games. That's literally what happens in the sequence. The brown one walks around a corner. The green one's laying on the floor, like rubbing his stomach because he's just feasted on some human snacks. And the brown one looks over and sees the dirty pile of laundry that hasn't been cleaned yet and just goes, you motherfucker. And he picks up a tree out of the ground. And I literally, they even make faces at each other like they know they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And the green one's just like, ugh, leave me alone. I'm stuffed.
Yeah. And he starts beating him with the twig.
He starts beating him like, you son of a bitch. Like,
you done wrong. Yeah, you done cheated wrong, on me. You mother.
I told you not munch on those humans. You know I'm a friend of theirs. I was a Frankenstein baby once, and they took care of me.
And humans so, friends.
Yeah, this is where the fight starts. So they're literally a married couple at this point, and now this is the fight. So the rest of the movie is the green one wanting to snack.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm mad at us.
Why?
We did not mention the best moment of the green one going to feast on humans. How dare we not remember the song?
If my lips would only say the pretty words that I feel in my heart. If my voice could make the sound, I would tell you how I love you and we'd never be apart.
Oh, okay. So the song, so there's an outdoor rooftop party going on. And the song is, the words get stuck in my throat.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who this lady is. I don't know what, but she's not a good singer. I mean, I know she's
I
probably overdubbed.
I said her name before because Devo... No, I covered this later
Devo,
on as a joke.
But I mean, I know she's probably overdubbed, right? But I mean,
I don't know if it is because she looks like an American actress as well.
Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like that voice is coming out of her mouth. It's
the
weird.
The song is awful.
You know, you're going to have to put the song into the.
I feel like we could sing it exactly the way it sounds. The I love when they cut to the audience watching, and even they seem a little like. It's questionable. Well, what I really love is that it's like she's singing her own death song, because the green one shows up right behind her, and I was laughing. I was like, oh my god, now she's going to be stuck in his throat. Right? I just couldn't believe, like, she's singing. The words of the song are terrible, by the way. She says, if I had a microphone, I'd stick it in my heart. So you could hear my love or something like that. I'm like, what? And well, I would turn it on and electrify my thoughts or something. I was like,
okay,
what?
Okay, I have the words
hell?
Right here. Devo did this song.
They covered it later on, 78.
Yeah.
Yes.
They
did it live somewhere.
If I had a tiny microphone hidden in my heart, it would amplify my love for you, but the words get stuck in my throat.
The words.
If I had a little view master stuck inside my brain, it would snap the pictures all of you.
Oh man.
Oh god, it goes on and on with the silliness. But this actress, it's not a good song. She's not a good singer.
She even looks like a banana for him. She's in like a yellow dress.
Yeah.
She looks like the singer of B-52s.
Oh yeah, she does. Yeah.
And he's gonna eat her, but they turn all the lights on, and he drops her.
Yeah, they don't ever go back to that, but she's dead, right?
She's not, because they flip her over and they're like, oh, she's alive. Call the ambulance. First off, the ambulance has got a lot more problems going on. There is a fucking giant walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they keep telling everybody, turn on the lights. Now, here's the thing. Now that he's on a full bender of eating humans, he's actually starting to be okay with the light.
Yeah.
So now he's like, you know what? The lights don't bother me anymore. Huh. So now there's a problem, because now he's attacking cities.
Right.
But now, because the husband and wife are now fighting, they rush into cities. There's one of the best shots.
Husband and wife.
is that they're evacuating everybody. And after he hit him, he hit him with the tree, he gets up and runs full speed over houses. I laughed so hard.
I kept making a joke, like, every time he's on the house, like, fuck your house.
Yeah, he just runs over them like they're no problem. And fuck your couch. I wanted to put Frank, all I kept thinking was Frank Drebin when he's standing in front of the explosions going, there's nothing to see here. I just want to put that on every sequence in this movie.
Well, he makes his way to the city.
Yeah.
Where are
Tokyo? They keep mentioning Tokyo.
They make sure they drill it in our head that it is Tokyo. They actually have a neon sign that says Tokyo
right outside every time Russ Tamil looks out of his balcony.
Yeah, it says Tokyo in neon lights. So what's the thing that you do when you know the monster's coming? You go outside. You go outside, right? So our main actress thinks that she could help. Somehow
she thinks that the brown one, because she's telling the army, hey, the brown one's on our side, and they're like, no,
we have to kill them.
He's
both
a Frankenstein, and he could make a million more Frankensteins just by sneezing.
How do you know he didn't, like, you know, a hair didn't fall off his head and he created a new one 5 minutes ago? How do they know that? I mean,
yeah, wait, one of his hairs falls off,
right?
We have 100 more Frankensteins,
right?
Like, that's all they have to say. Like, I don't care if you think that he's saved you. I don't care that you think that he can listen to you and you can reason with him.
He can create an army of himself,
and he created the green one. There is no argument here. He created the green one. And now it's not as bad as the last movie where the scientist was like, let's cut the arms off and, like, test them for science.
No, it's not that bad.
In this, they go, yeah, but if we capture them, we can test them for science. And the army's like, no, you guys are pieces of shit. You made this happen.
Yeah.
You are causing these deaths. Like,
yep.
No, we're going to kill them. And they're trying to come up with ideas like, well, if we blow them up, then we might cause more Frankensteins. How do we do this? They're like, well, maybe we can make them die by suffocating them with napalm. And I was like, okay, at least they're thinking. They're like, if we have to blow up Tokyo, we'll do it. Like, we'll nuke this place to stop them.
Because
they're a threat. And I agree with them. They're like, what do we do?
They couldn't possibly get all the citizens of Tokyo out of the freaking city in time.
No. That's the thing,
you
right?
You know, it's like, okay, that's not a good plan. But our main protagonist, our girl, she decides that, you know, she's going to go with Russ Tamblyn. Down into
I love
the city.
How you're using the mic, by the way. You keep doing this thing with the mic where you're rolling back and forth. So
oh,
you're,
I'm rocking
you're
in
going
chair.
In and out of volume.
Sorry.
And by the way,
I was rocking back and forth. Sorry. But anyway, I'm back. Okay. So she decides she's going to run through the city too, even though everyone's trying to be evacuated. And so they go underground into the subway where they know that he can't reach them, right? So what's your point? What are you going to be out there for then? Huh?
She's trying to get to the brown one for some reason to get him out of the city. I think to help him so they can kill the green one and they can try to save him. And of course, the green one finds them and tries to grab them to the subway, causing the subway to collapse and knock her out.
Right. So
I think he grabs her, but then the brown one hits him.
And then he drops her. And I was like, she's clearly dead.
She falls on a staircase.
She's
fucked up.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
But so then here we go. Our 20 minutes are left of the movie, and we know we're going to get a 20-minute solid monster bashing throwdown.
This is what this is the scene of the fight sequence that I like, because what's going on here is really interesting. Is the brown one's telling the green one stop.
Yeah.
He's actually not fighting. He's like telling the green one, stop it. I don't want you to die.
Right.
You know, basically like we are family. They actually say they're Frankenstein brothers. The army keeps saying they're brothers.
Yeah, they're brothers.
But the brown one's like, stop, stop. And the green one is like, hell no.
Not in a trashiest place.
He just body slams him into buildings. He keeps trying to give him sign language, like, stop it, stop.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I do feel bad for those freaking set designers.
Oh, it's awesome. it's so much
fun.
They
build these beautiful things, these beautiful miniatures, and they just get destroyed. It's just so sad.
Yeah. I would want to be the guy in the suit. If I was going to build those sets, I'd be like, well, let me be the guy in the suit so I can pretend and have a good time trashing my stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think when you make it, it's okay when you do it.
Yeah, but I mean, you probably only got one take here, you know? It's like, you got to get it right. You're done, because once they're smashed, they're smashed.
Yeah. Well, this fight goes on for a while. Now that they're both into it, they fight into the sea. Right now, this is the one thing I took a note on. You okay?
Yes.
I took a note. One note. Took a lot. You took like three pages.
I did.
I have one note. I wrote, volcano? The end? That's all I wrote. Because I honestly, I have no idea what happens here. All of a sudden, in the middle of the ocean, they literally fight all the way out in the ocean. The army guy goes, well, I think we lost them. We can't find them. It's like, what do you mean? They're battling into the ocean. Like, you can't miss them. They're just fighting out in the ocean. So anyways, they fight so much that they find a volcano.
In the middle of the ocean.
Ocean that is erupting at the same exact time. And it looks like something that would come to your table at a Mexican restaurant for your birthday.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was like giant sparklers.
At San Jose's.
Yeah. Sparklers shooting. And the sea bubbling. Right? Yes. And all of a sudden, while they're fighting, they disappear. And they go, ah. They went into the volcano. There's no way they could have survived that heat. Anyways. They're dead. The end.
Finn.
It literally just says the end.
It just ends.
I'm not even doing this. They just disappear. And the same guy who said, the Frankenstein baby, he died. No, he didn't die. But no, he's dead. He went out into the mountain. He died. There's no way he survived. Same thing. And he just does it again. They went into the volcano. There's no way they didn't survive. They're dead.
They must both be dead. Certainly, nothing could live in all that.
Was it confirmed?
No, they couldn't get too close because of the heat there.
I was like, who would believe you? Man. Who would listen to you?
It's just, it's so bonkers. Like, they tried at nothing. They just wanted to make, like, you know, two monsters fighting or, you know, causing destruction. I mean, I get it. But these movies, like, when you start doing stuff like this, these movies become a dime a dozen, you know? Like, there's no rhyme or reason to this. Like, at least put a little plot in there, a little something that makes some kind of logical sense.
Yeah.
No, nothing. There's nothing in this. Like, if you're going to make a sequel or even call it a sequel, if you're calling it as a sequel at all to any extent, you need to have sequel-like things put inside there.
Well, I think you have to back up on the sequel thing because you're hung up on it because... It is not a sequel.
That's what everyone's calling it, though.
It is a light sequel reboot of what they did the first time. It's basically like Evil Dead 1 and 2, where it's like the same exact movie they filmed. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we're going to use some of the elements. We were planning to make a sequel, but we just don't care enough.
Right.
So we're just going to make another one and go, hey, they're Frankenstein monsters. It's like, are you going to explain how you got Frankenstein monsters? You're going to explain where the baby came from? No, we're not going to explain that. No. Okay, moving on.
It's like, what can be as good as the Frankenstein monster in the first one? Oh, I get it. Two Frankenstein monsters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's when you double down on a sequel. Now, you said you took all these notes. What else you got? What did you not bring up?
I was just making fun of, you know, the dumb broad decision that Akimi makes when she allows herself to be grabbed buy the green one. Like, this is a staple in pretty much any movie that was in like the early 60s, 70s. The women usually make the stupid decisions to just, hey, put your head out and have a peek. You know, like, come on, man. Like, you're a fucking scientist. You can't be this dumb. Like, she literally puts herself in harm's way. I took a lot of notes about, you know, the names, like the names of people and trying to take note on who they were. But literally,
nothing mattered
because I wanted to make sure I got everything
right.
They
do nothing.
There's no
Ross Tamlin's character, the doctor of Paul, whatever. He does nothing. He just is there to go, I bet it's this.
Yeah, he has like a 12-second like pondering scene in the car where he basically says, oh, this must be our Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, why do you even think for 2 seconds? Like, obviously he's green and he's killing people. It's not yours. It's not your guy. Like, these are supposed to be smart people. They do the dumbest things.
I definitely very much miss Nick Adams in this movie.
I miss Nick Adams, too.
He had, like, charisma. I don't know how to explain it. Russ Tamlin can tell he doesn't want to be here.
No, he doesn't.
And there is, like, a huge connection between all three characters. And I will say, the third doctor in the last movie was fascinating because he was all about, like, you know, I want to preserve life, but I want to cut things up. And I couldn't stop laughing about it, but at least he had a character.
Yeah.
And this one, the third guy, he's just there.
No.
And a lot of times he goes, huh. Also, yeah. In this movie, you have to watch, if you see in this movie, or if you haven't seen this movie and you're thinking about checking out, watch Russ Tamblyn's hand acting. He is doing so much awkward stuff with his hands. Because he's clearly not into what he's doing, and he's just throwing his hands around. And if you watch, there's a certain scene where the other actor just looks at his hands because he doesn't know what the guy's doing.
You should have pointed that out to me because I didn't see it.
It's a lot. Every scene he's in, he's doing something with his hands.
Oh, my God.
It's really strange.
You know, I'm kind of bummed that they didn't bring back the octopus, though. I feel like that would have made for better, you know, entertainment. Like, maybe the two of them could have, instead of being, like, at odds with each other, they could have fought that big octopus.
Well, something. They had to be at odds for, that's the whole plot, is, like, two, an evil one and a good one, green and brown, yeah. earth tones and water, or whatever the hell it is. And it was, like, that's it. Because I think that the octopus is a staple in Toho's movies as a throwaway character.
Yeah.
I think in every one of them we see, there's always the one octopus is like supposed to be threatening, and then something comes in and kills it to show you that there's a bigger one. You know, they do that in like Jurassic Park 2, where the T-Rex is about to kill someone, or the raptors are about to kill someone, then a T-Rex eats it. Then they go, oh, we got to double down. What's bigger than a T-Rex? That thing will kill a T-Rex next time.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing here. Mm-hmm. I remember in Skull Island, Kong Skull Island, the squid is attacking and Kong eats the squid.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I think that even happens on a Godzilla film too.
Uh-huh.
Like, these are staples. I actually think it happens in the original Godzilla versus King Kong as well. So it's funny that octopus, like, they always use that for some reason. I would also say another running thing in these kaiju movies is a female character who thinks that they can talk to the monster. And the monster seems to like the female character.
Yeah.
And I always laugh about that because she would look like an ant.
Right.
You know, she's almost like a small little creature, and they always go, oh, I feel your pain. Yeah. I can see everything you're going through right now, yeah. And I get it.
Of course.
Yeah, and I always find that really fascinating. But all these movies do that. Like, they have, I would say, like, a plot point, trope plot point that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, we're going to have a movie. We're going to have a lot of fights. We're going to have a lot of military driving up. We have to have a couple characters talk about nonsense.
Yeah.
And we have to have that female character that thinks they can control the monster. And she's also the one that's like, save the monster.
Of course.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, she doesn't want him to die and the whole thing. I'm like, okay, humanity is at stake. And what about that rule about how if you shed like a dead skin cell or something, that it'll just like come back to life and create more monsters? What about that? Do you even care about humanity at all? Or do you care about this one thing?
Oh, they're not thinking about humanity at all. They're thinking about testing it.
Yeah.
Because that never goes wrong.
Yeah. So what are you going to rate this one?
We're already at the rating? I thought you had like 50 other things.
No, I went through it all already.
Well, let's not waste too much time wondering. Let's get down to work and see if we can find the answer.
I guess the big question here is this movie better than the last one, or is the last one better than this movie? You know, I guess that's the main question here, right? Because I kind of liked the last movie because it was so bad it's good.
Yeah.
I liked a lot about it in that sense. It was just a weird movie. But looking at this movie versus that movie actually had more interesting fights and monster stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, like, at least Baragon is like no plot. He just shows up and eats chickens. It's kind of cute. It's kind of funny. And Frankenstein does a lot of fun things. Like, he's always running around doing something crazy.
Yeah.
In this movie, like, it's just like ducking behind trees, looking around. I will say that Frankenstein just punches things with trees a lot in the last one. In this one, it's just like ducking, hiding, getting electrocuted, smashing a building. And it's boring.
It's boring. Like, I'll say that I gave the last one a 3. This one, I really am going to give it a 2. I didn't care for it.
I can't believe this is the 6.
I'm very shocked. Like,
I don't understand. Even when I was a kid, I don't think this would have connected with me as much. There's a reason Godzilla connects with me.
Yeah.
Or Kong, because, or the villains, any of the villains Godzilla fights, they're all fascinating.
Ghidorah's awesome.
They're just really interesting and creative and different, and they have the best theme music, the best sound effects. You know, like, their fights are fascinating. Even when it was stupid pro wrestling fights, like we did an episode on Godzilla versus Megalon,
mm-hmm.
and he full-on tag team wrestles the monsters. It's silly fun.
It's fun.
And the thing there is that the humans are kind of fun.
Yes. The humans in this suck.
Yeah. And I will say that the fights kind of suck.
The fights suck. There's nothing here. I don't understand how this one's the highest rated.
I don't know why this one connected with so many people. I guess it was the right time for their childhood and they saw it in the theater because this is one of those American produced ones that made the rounds a lot, which is shocking to me because I had never seen this before. Yeah, this one just doesn't work for me. If I give the last one a 4, I'm giving this one a 3.
Okay, I'm giving this a 2. there's nothing there. Nothing.
It doesn't do anything. I literally just wanted it to end at one point. I was like, okay, we got to move on. When they, even the movie itself doesn't know what to do. It just goes, they're dead.
Yeah, I know. For an hour and 32 minutes, like... What?
I know. We were saying...
What are we watching?
I would love to do a count on how long this movie actually is if you just cut out the nonsense driving around.
Yeah. No, it's nonsense. 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes.
With the plot? Is 15 minutes, you're saying? Or Yeah. It can't be that much. It's got to be at least 35 to 40 minutes.
I mean...
But I would say that there is a giant chunk that could be cut out.
Huge chunk.
Yeah.
Well, I'm giving it a 2. You're giving it a 3. All right. Well, then that brings us to our segment.
Oh, should it go on our list, I guess I should ask you before we move to that?
Yeah, before I do my segment, okay.
Because you are saying a 2, and I am saying a 3, so...
It's not good.
It's up there, but I don't know where it would go, because it's not in our top 5.
No.
Because in our top 5 right now, we have Star Wars Holiday Specials, number 1, that's going to be very hard to beat. Nick Fury, the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Vampirella, Sasquatch Hunters, and Doll Graveyard.
Oh, those are bad. Really bad.
I might say to you that I find this movie, and also in number 6 is Dinosaur Island. God. So I would say that I like a lot of those movies better.
Well, I definitely like Dinosaur Island better than this. At least there was, you know, something going on.
I feel that way about Doll Graveyard, too. Even if, like, I didn't like it, it still was silly fun.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't know.
I mean, there was at least more going on in that movie than this.
Yeah, this is just very dull.
All right.
Do you want to put it in the top 5 or what?
Yeah, put it in the top 5.
All right.
Okay. All right, and that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where... I will read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review. as proof that people cannot rate movies. What's wrong with you people?
Which people might be saying about us right now.
Oh my God, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think this is a fan favorite, and I understand. It just might be that one that connected with people, like Jet Jaguar did for me when I was a kid.
Yeah, and
I
know it's true, but
I knew that was silly.
That movie is fun as hell.
It's fun. Or Inframan, which I also love.
Yes, Inframan. We love that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do the one star, because this title is Broken Hearted. It's very short. To think that only a few short years earlier, Russ Tamblyn was a lead in a musical that won tons of Oscars, and now he's subjected to doing this stuff? Sad.
Wow, jeez.
I would say he
became more successful. He did Twin Peaks.
Later on, that's the 90s.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, I don't know if it's his fault. I think that who wouldn't want to take a movie? They're like, hey, you want to go and do a Japanese film? Yeah. Who's going to say no?
Right.
I wouldn't say that was anything wrong.
No. I mean, I would. Kidding me if someone asked me to do one of these? Oh, hell yeah. Do it for free.
Yeah, I would. Well, yeah.
I would. I mean, if I could be the person in the suit, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah.
All right, so now we have our 10 out of 10. Good old-fashioned monster movie. I watched this movie when I was a kid, and I can say that the dreams I had that night were awesome. If you like running from a huge monster. But since dreams like that are cool to have in the memory bank when you are old, I'm really glad I did have them. Is the movie something that is brain food because of an exceptional plot and amazing twists and turns? No. But who cares? It goes to something my mother said. I had taken a movie review class at college and had forgotten how to just enjoy a movie. And as I watched a movie one night with her and pointed out some script flaws and foreshadowing misses, she said, you know, it's just a movie. So I realized again that though not all movies are watchable, you need to also cut other movies a break and just enjoy them.
What?
Okay, so as a person who took a movie review class, you're giving this a 10 because what? Your mama told you to?
Your mama said
to just sit back and enjoy a movie?
But then I guarantee that mom also critiqued like classic movies and said, I don't like it, it's boring.
Yeah.
And so then what do you say to them? Well, it's art, mom. You have to rate it higher. That kind of logic is so baffling to me. I don't really understand it. Like, movies are movies. You rate them. Like, I don't know. Like, you definitely know what a better movie is toward another movie. I know we do watch these movies and critique it. And so we're kind of like, we have that critical brain thing going on. But I do think that everybody does, even when they say they don't. I think that's just in our nature to, like, say, is this movie, what is this movie? Do you like it that much? Or I know that some people will come up to you. I think you were telling me this the other day. Some people just kind of come up to you and go, "Hey, it's good." And that's it. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to talk about it.
When you're, you know, a lot of people ask me what I thought of, you know, certain movies or whatever. And I don't know what they want to hear out of me. Like, do you want to hear me go into a 15-minute, you know, spiraling rant of why I thought the movie sucked or why I liked it? Or do you just want me to say, yeah, I liked it. Okay. See you later. Bye, Bill. Talk to you later. That kind of thing.
I always just go thumbs up. You know, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Well, there's a lot of layers in there. You can't just give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down sometimes.
I know.
And I feel like this guy, like, I understand that, you know, you can sit back and enjoy a movie and not think too much about it. I have many of those. They're called guilty pleasures. And I sit there and I watch them and I'm like, yeah, this movie's crap, but I love it. And those are the movies that you just sit back and watch and don't think about because you've watched them 1,000 times. But still, you have to know in the back of your head that that movie's a piece of crap. You know, like, you can't give this a 10 out of 10 because your mom imparted some ridiculous wisdom on you when you were a kid.
You know what, that we've heard this so many times before from other people too, where we've heard people say, it's a great popcorn movie. You turn off your brain. And I'm like, here's the difference between that, turning off your brain and not turning off your brain, right? If you're watching a good movie and you don't have to, you don't feel for a moment that you have to overthink the plot. You're watching a good movie because
right.
your brain is telling you, I accept, you know, I could take that logic jump, you know, like I, you're setting up a universe and you're making me believe it. You know what I mean? And I can take the movie for what it is and enjoy it. But if a movie, you're watching a movie and it breaks its own logic or does something that kicks you out of the movie and makes you start thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
that's not a good movie.
Right.
You never want that to happen. And I don't care who says, you can't say you turn off your brain. No. There is no such thing as turning off your brain. You're just enjoying something you're not. And you can enjoy, it's okay. Since we do this all the time, we know this. We'll say this for a fact. We enjoy a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, like
we know
HK.
They're bad. I wouldn't even say that's bad. It's a good
spoof. I mean,
spoof,
it's just crazy.
I will say that, like Dinosaur Island, like you brought up a minute ago, as much as we didn't like it, we also knew what was funny about it and what was like entertaining about it enough mm-hmm. to give it a chance. The same thing goes here. I know what's good about it, and there are moments that are good. You know, the models are fun. The actors in the suits are going for it. You know, there is some crazy stuff in there. It's enough. There's enough there to go, okay, I can see why some of this is entertaining. But at the same time, go, it's just as a full-fledged movie. Hey, we're not into it. You
but
know
I mean,
what
I was really bored a lot of the time.
But that's what I'm saying about this guy's review. It's like you don't have to say 10.
Right. You don't have to say 10.
That's our point here. You don't have to say 1. There is something there probably. A 1 is really tough. I mean, we have Star Wars Holiday Special number 1 on the worst movies we've watched on the podcast for a reason. It is just it's like torture.
It's unwatchable.
It's a hard movie to sit through. It is very, very bizarre, and it's just bad all around. So that's the reason we put it there. I think there's something to it in noticing, like, nothing should be an hour and 40 minutes of Wookiees and bizarre music. And then saying this is a 10 just because, you know what? I sat there and I watched it, and I'm not mad.
Right.
It's a 10? No.
No, it's come on, not man. A 10.
Yeah, there's not a... I wouldn't say there's a moment in this movie that sticks out to you and you go, oh, wow, this is a great film. Like, holy crap, it looks amazing. Come on. This is a nostalgic movie, if anything.
Yeah.
All those directors and stuff that we said this movie stuck out to them,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a nostalgic moment in their lives where they saw this as a kid and went, this works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
I can't. It blows my mind how many people I named
in
Hollywood that this movie stuck in their brains.
It's just, I know. I can't. Brad Pitt, that's number 1. I can't take it.
That one's the lowest on mine. Everybody else, Tarantino, Carpenter, Del Toro, mm-hmm. like, these are like grade A directors. Like, this is the movie that stuck out to me.
Oh my God.
It's so wild to me. But hey, all to their own. That's what we're saying. You know, we get it. It's just not for us.
Nope. Not this one.
I would say that I would love to hear someone talk about what was it about this movie that they do like.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I always want to hear that stuff. And that's why we have Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at the Crafty Minister. That is the exact place where we want to hear what you like, what you don't. And I'd love to hear it. I don't think there's any topic off, you know, conversation
off the table,
for me.
Yeah,
nothing's off the table. I want to hear it. I think it's okay to have these discussions and share opinions. And sometimes I love hearing these opinions because they might change my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes when you see a movie, you're like, I'm not in the right moment for it. And maybe this is one of those movies. It's like, this didn't work for me in this moment.
Right.
I think we've seen a couple movies now where we've rewatched them and gone, oh my God, this is so much better the second time.
Yeah.
Like it's grown on me. And maybe that is the kind of thing. I think we watched something recently we hadn't seen in a long time and we're like, yeah, it wasn't as good as it remembered it. But last month, I remember we watched Judge Dredd and that was a movie I remember hating. And I actually go, this is actually pretty damn fun.
I liked it.
It's and I remember Super Mario Brothers was one that you did a couple years back.
I liked
that
it.
You actually ended up loving, and you had seen it and hated it previously. So
I guess I didn't remember.
Sometimes a movie just hits you in a different way in a certain time.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, any parting thoughts?
Nah, man, I wasn't too thrilled on this one, but you know what? Maybe the next one will be better.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I don't know. We'll see you next week. What I love about kaiju movies is when I pick them, I'm trying to get ones that are so weird. But it's another Toho movie next week, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, it's Toho all month, right?
No, the last one, we're going to go to a different company.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're going to do a Gamera film at the end of the month. Okay. Because I figure Gamera needs a little love.
Yeah, Gamera needs love.
Right. Yeah, so thank you for listening, as always. Hit us up on Instagram, like I already said, and I'd love to hear anything. Tell us themes, ideas, movie picks, your worst movie of all time. I'd love to hear it so we can watch on this show. And as always, thanks for being here. Have a good one. Bye.
General, I know for certain that he remembered me. He saved my life there. He couldn't have been the one who attacked the boat.
I don't care what you tell me. I have my orders. Tomorrow we're using napalm on the entire area.
You'll kill him then.
We just can't afford to let them live.